I am almost one game tick ahead of Time Dot Is.
Ah. you're gonna play this game.
Yes. It's creeping closer and closer.
I don't know when, but it's gonna get you at some point.
I probably
can feel it.
Yeah. I realized when I was doing this, just the way that our calendar is worked out right now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have N7 come out on November 7th, and then the next 2 weeks are Dragon Age topics. And we are now just one topic away from November being Dragon Age month, or being BioWare month. So I think I might just have to do another one.
Have to find another BioWare title, though.
Yeah, there's plenty. We'll be the number one podcast where you can get information about Jade Empire. Hello, and welcome to Codex, a casual lore podcast. My name is Phil.
I'm Logan.
And today's episode is the second of our minis that we've been doing. Today is also a very special episode because it's the first time, I think, that we have been able to put out an episode on a gamer holiday. Today we are talking about the N7 program on November 7th. Boom, boom,
boom. Huzzah. We have been planning things on purpose for like 2 whole weeks in a row now.
2 whole weeks. Maybe this will co-launch with another sneak peek of another piece of N7 armor for the Mass Effect game that comes out in 10 years. Who knows?
We can only hope. Or maybe some weird faces that don't quite work the way you expect.
Phase out of existence, or, you know, eyebrows get too big. But before we get into that, do you have a speedy bright spot for us?
You have to go first. I forgot we were doing this again.
Yep. All right. My quick one. I finally finished Starfield Shattered Space, which isn't my bright spot, unfortunately. My bright spot is that I wrote a script about Starfield, and I finally wrapped it up, and I'll be recording it tomorrow. So my bright spot is I made a video about Starfield that was spurred by the fact that I finished Shattered Space, which isn't a bright spot. It's fine.
We probably
won't be doing an episode about a snake cult anytime soon because there's not much there.
We could pick a different snake cult. There's more than one.
That's true. This is the snake cult episode.
That Assassin's Creed game had a snake cult in it, didn't it?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Like Origin or something?
The ancient Greek one. Whichever
Odyssey.
One that was.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that had a snake cult, I think.
Yeah. Well, we'll do an episode on Pythagoras. Don't you worry. What do you got? What's your bright spot?
Let's go. I'm just going to keep interjecting RuneScape into things because that's what I do. I can almost do double nature runes while runecrafting. Which requires level 91 runecrafting, which is, you know, been multiple years in the making at this point. But then I can get a cool pair of gloves that when I clap them, it teleports me right to a Slayer Master. And that's pretty neat.
Okay. You have gone from 85 nature to 91 pretty quickly, if I remember correctly. It's been less than a month.
Yeah, I'm closing in on 88 right now. So a +3 boost isn't too hard to come by. I might wait until I hit 89, because a +2 boost in runecrafting is pretty easy to do. We'll do an episode about level boosting some days, but not today.
Fun. Yes, today is about the N7 program.
Tell me about the spaceman.
So part of the reason that we even really discussed making mini episodes was spurred on by the N7 program. There's not a lot to go on here. For how much N7 and the red stripe has been merchandised by BioWare, there's really not that much about the program itself. So this will end up probably being a pretty quick one. But the first part, the N7 actually means something. So the N designates special forces within the Alliance military. I think the closest I could find is, I think, like, current real life Navy ranks are E, like ensign E's. And I think they're just kind of taking stuff from that. And then the 7 refers to the highest level of proficiency. So N7 is the most badass of the badass special forces in the Systems Alliance.
Solid. And that is separate from the other faction special forces.
Yeah. This is humans only.
Okay. I know a tiny bit about Mass Effect just from existing near you for years.
Oh, have you never played Mass Effect?
I played some amount of 2. I picked up 2 when I got my 360 on a Black Friday from a Kmart, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But I also got Black Ops then. So
The paths diverged.
Yeah. And I think I put an afternoon into Mass Effect 1 at some point. That is it.
Wow.
I could make you a Mass Effect word cloud, but okay. I couldn't tell you much about those words. I know there are Spectres.
Yeah.
And they're special forces who I think are next to or above N7 in some manner. But
wow.
We're already reaching the limits of my firsthand knowledge.
Amazing. Okay. Yeah. So I guess quick divergent. Spectres are the super cops of the Citadel races. So they are the super cops that are above all the laws. And they are of all of the different Citadel races, which are the Turians, which are kind of the avian insect looking dudes. Garrus Vakarian, who you probably have just run into by being on the internet, is a Turian. The Asari, which are the blue sexy aliens, they are a Citadel race. Humans have most recently become a Citadel race, but there's all of the like secondary ones also. Commander Shepard becomes a Spectre in the first game, but he is originally an N7 designated military person.
Okay. Quick aside to your aside, maybe explain what a Citadel is.
Oh, God. Okay.
That one I know, but
I
imagine someone listening will not.
So the Citadel is, without getting too deep into all of Mass Effect, but the big thing is that the Citadel is a massive space station that houses, like, there's an entire like group of people that live there. Like, it's this massive space station. It is the center of galactic government for the Citadel races. And the titular Mass Effect is a Mass Effect relays that are set throughout the Milky Way galaxy. And ultimately, I think it's generally that all paths lead home to the Citadel. So the idea is that it's a network that sends you to the Citadel where you can have unified government that will allow you to expand throughout the galaxy and kind of like have a centralized place for everyone together. It's like space Washington, D.C., but for like literally everyone. Like, there's embassies there, there's shopping, there's all of that good stuff.
Space UN plus a bus depot.
Yeah. It's also a really cool, it looks like a starfish with a, instead of having like a filled in spot in the center, it's a central ring. And when the Citadel enters battle mode, it can close all of its 5 legs and I guess like closes it up. You see it happen, but you don't really talk about the logistics. It's also huge. Like, it's the biggest thing in the Mass Effect universe, I think. So yeah. That's neither here nor there when it comes to the N7 program, I guess. The N7 program is actually, so it's a, basically N7 is a designation for a military, like it's a little badge that you get on your armor, which is where most people have seen it. And it basically says, I'm Special Forces and that I have been trained to the 7th level. Like, I've graduated to the 7th level of this really rigorous training. So if you were like, I feel like most male Americans who watched the History Channel in the mid 2000s, you most likely saw all of the dumb like Navy SEALs training shows.
Oh yeah.
I feel like for a while there was like a reality show about it or something about like Hell Week. It was up there with Shark Week.
Yeah. Ringing the bell on the way out of SEAL training, I think.
So this is that.
Yeah.
But obviously worse. It takes place at the Interplanetary Combatives Academy, which is colloquially known as N School or the Villa, which I think is always fun when these places have good names.
Solid.
Mm-hmm. And they are, it's an ever increasingly difficult level of classes that you take at the Villa Militar in Rio. So they fly in all of these trainees, and typically you're already at the top of your class when you go to your N1 course. It's like, these are already people who are well decorated, and you know, this is the time for them to go there and get their bragging rights.
Yeah, so this is like the people who enter astronaut training kind of thing.
Kind of, yeah.
Just like, you are already at the top of a field, and now you will continue into this even more selective group.
Yeah. And you'll end up going through even more, like, it continues to get harder and harder as you go, and you can kind of bomb out whenever you want. So N1 through 6 are the classes, and then once you finish 6, you are designated N7. N7 are the only people who get a little badge on their armor that says, I did N7. Everyone else is just, you participated in N school. And kind of the cool thing is that there's like no shame in failing an N course. It is so intense and rigorous that even qualifying is like a position of respect. So, you know, it's fine if you don't make it, just, you know, being nominated is half the thing.
Do we know what the student to teacher ratio is at N7 school?
It's probably like a class, not great
size, or yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. There's, because of how Mass Effect ends up going, which you don't know anything about, the numbers on N7 stuff kind of gets weird. So the first graduate of the N school is David Anderson, which is the guy.
Yeah, the guy with the voice.
Yeah, the guy with the voice. Is that Keith David?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
So he is, based on what your sources are, it seems like he is either one of the first graduates or he is the first graduate, which is why he is promoted to being a Spectre candidate. That goes bad, and then now Commander Shepard is the next one on the list. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 known N7 members. One of them is Captain Anderson. Commander Shepard, James Vega, was offered entry into the program but never actually finished because of the Reaper War. He's a companion in the third game, I think. Slight crossover for an episode that hasn't come out yet. He is voiced by Freddie Prinze Jr. of I guess live action Scooby-Doo fame.
They get names for a lot of the voices in these games, I've noticed.
Yeah, there's some good ones in there. An additional N7 member and Pathfinder of the Andromeda Initiative is the Alec Ryder, the main Pathfinder guy. He is the player character's dad, who unfortunately does not make it. Those are some of the main ones. Like I said, it gets kind of fuzzy with how many N7 graduates there are. The third game has a whole, the multiplayer mode is called N7 Special Ops, and those are teams that are run by N7 commandos. They all have generic names and like class styles that you play. They're different play styles. And those squads were nicknamed the Spec Ops, like the N7 Spec Ops, but some of them are, most of them are probably not N7 folks. They were just led by them. And because the Reaper War was devastating the entire world, they were just like, hey, you know, morale, sign of respect. Enough. Thanks for helping out. But what is N school? What do these graduates go through?
I bet it's a chill, fun time.
It sure isn't. Oh. The first one is mostly chill, fun times. And it's primarily going through like land, like actual Terra-based, land-based army things. And it is, like I said, the Navy SEAL training stuff where, like, you know, you're training for 20 hours a day. You're leading units in combat with, you know, little sleep or no food. And it's just kind of like hoorah army stuff in the N1 category. And then N2 through 6, like the remainder of the program, becomes a bit more intense. So like you're going off planet and you're doing zero G combat. You are doing military free fall stuff. You're doing jetpack fighting. You're doing combat diving, close quarters combat stuff, frontline trauma care for human and alien biology, which I think is interesting since this is a human first kind of initiative. And then just general, you know, military assault procedures. Like you're doing SWAT school, you're doing your typical special forces stuff.
You get to have jetpack battles in the games.
I don't think that you get to fly a jetpack from what I remember, but I think that there is later in, I think in Mass Effect 3, there's like a charge ability where you jet boost to the enemy, if I remember right. That might be a biotic thing, but it might also be jet boots.
We can work with that.
And that's kind of also an interesting thing from the different Codex entries I was reading. There's not anything based on biotics. Like mostly the biotics, like military people for the humans, are their own separate unit. Nothing in here that says a biotic person can't go in and do an N7, but there are no known biotic members as far as I can tell. And none of this stuff is like, there's not even like combat against biotics or things like that.
And for clarification, biotics are like psionics / the magic system of this universe.
Yeah, that's your force pull, force push, do the charge abilities, shielding, things like that. Gotcha. Biotics will be like a whole separate episode that we do because there's fun stuff related to Element Zero and how perhaps planned exposure of kids to bad things turned them into biotics to be fighting forces. We got
a Spartan program.
Yeah, they got a Spartan program. So you kind of go through these different courses and you'll show up, either graduate or bomb out, and then you can come back later and take more of them. There's other like specialized ones, like if you are part of, like if you are a pilot or part of the mechanized infantry, you can drive, maintain, shoot from different vehicles. Comm specialists take communications and stuff with using alien technology to communicate that way. There's a lot of specialization when it comes to the later like N level courses. And kind of the fun thing is that it's a space opera, right? So you're taking these classes, not necessarily in like on Earth all the time, but you are going to Europa by Jupiter and you are, you know, joining active combat experiences around the galaxy to get your training in.
Are these like actual combat things happening or simulated?
So this is where going from N6 to N7 goes. So that is actual combat experience in conflict zones around the galaxy. There's not really a lot of details on what those are. I guess a piece of lore that you don't know is that when humanity joined the rest of the galactic world, they had a thing called the First Contact War, which will probably end up being a bit of an episode at some point, which is when they run into the Turians, who are a very, I would say, Roman-inspired militaristic culture. Like their people are called Primarchs, like the leaders are the Primarchs. Good 40k tie-in. And there is a brief war there, so there is like combat with them, but then they end that, they join the Citadel races, and then there are like non-Citadel races, the Batarians and another one that starts with a V, but that's not, I'm thinking Volnai, which is not a thing. I have too many fantasy worlds in my head right now.
Vorgon. Nope, that was Babylon 5.
Vorkath is a type of dog somewhere, I think.
No, that's the blue bunny dragon from RuneScape, my friend.
No!
I've rotted your mind successfully. Oh, yeah.
Shoot.
Oh, that feels good.
Well, wrap it up. Anyway.
Tell them what they won, Bob. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like other conflicts that are happening. So there's like Batarian slavers and stuff that I guess N7 folks may be dealing with. So this is a fun bit of wiki nonsense. There is not a paragraph break between these, so I'm just going to say these and we can decide if this means that they are the same thing or they're not. But it says, the highest grade of training, N6, provides actual combat experience in conflict zones throughout the galaxy. From day one, invitees are given basic gear, then separated and stranded on an asteroid with no nav data. The test ends with the last person runs out of oxygen. The first few are out of the program. If the trainee survives these scenarios in admirable and effective fashion, they finally receive the coveted N7 designation. So, does that mean they're like, hey, You're tough as nails. How about not only do we put you in a combat zone, we're going to put you on an asteroid with nothing, and you also have to deal with that too? Or are those maybe supposed to have a paragraph break in there?
Yeah, that seems...
seems bad, right?
Seems like not your best use of N6 people also.
Yeah.
Are there just like not... Did they let them suffocate?
So it says the first few are out of the program, and it's unclear if that means because they're dead or just because we came and picked them up.
Huh. Do you lose your N6 designation then?
No, no.
Or are you out of the N7 program specifically?
You basically stop at an N6, I think. Because you are, if you are able to join the program, I think that means that you are just like capable of taking N1, and then you achieve the numbering there doesn't really make a lot of sense, does it? Because you become
a few ways.
You end the program, you finish N6, and that means that you have become an N7.
Okay. But if you don't make it off the asteroid, presumably you landed on the asteroid and were stranded as an N6.
Yeah.
And then do not attain the rank of N7.
Yes.
But if you leave the program, as it said, then are you still an N6 or are you now nothing because you rolled the dice?
Or
you're dead.
I think that you just get to keep the status, but there's nothing. So the only thing in here is that N7 is the only designation from combat school that you can wear on a uniform. So I think if you don't make it to N7, you just participated in N school and that's it.
Okay. So it's seven steps, but two groups.
Yeah. You tried, but it didn't work out, or you tried and you succeeded.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then at the end, there is a big graduation ceremony, and it is held at Arcturus Station, which is the...
That's good.
It's a good name. It's the... I didn't know this until I was reading up on this, but Arcturus Station is actually the base of the System Alliance government and the military. It's on a space station just before the mass relay that goes back to Earth. So most of Earth government is not based on Earth Earth government is, but the Systems Alliance, like Human Space Federation, isn't, because, you know, why would it? It's just one of many worlds that it runs. I had no idea that it actually was just on a space station guarding the last mass relay into Earth.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Bad things happen to Arcturus Station in Mass Effect 3, if you can imagine it. But, you know.
Bad things happen to most things in Mass Effect 3, from my limited understanding.
Correct. It all goes sideways. So the kind of cool thing, I guess, about the N7 program is that it's not like you don't become an N7, and then that's kind of it. You join this like larger group of specialists. So because of the way that the, you know, global conflicts happen in Mass Effect, you're dealing with species that have different environments that they live in. So, you know, you pull in N7 folks who have trained for specific types of operations. So, you know, if there are N7 people who have trained in high air pressure or ammonia heavy environments, they will pull them in to lead combat ops into different spaces instead of just kind of humans going in there blind. So it's a lot of specialization in like not just how to conduct combat, but also the different places that it can happen, because, you know, Milky Way is a big place.
Universe is big, yo.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's the N7 program. I do have two bits of a fun trivia here.
Ooh.
The first is, you may be wondering, what's with the red stripe?
What is with the red stripe?
Thanks for asking. So the red stripe is in the Art of Mass Effect book for the first Mass Effect game. It says that it is a detail on the emblem that symbolizes the human blood that must be sacrificed to achieve your goals. It's also a historic reference to the red stripes that commanders wore on their uniforms in space missions for to make them instantly recognizable. So, you know, gotta lead from the front, I suppose.
Are you a blood cult?
You know, it's, you know, I feel like there's a weird connection with Earth military and, you know, red coats and such.
You aren't not a blood cult.
Yeah. I didn't say no.
Yeah.
There is also like the, obviously N7 is the thing for all Mass Effect merchandise. Like this is one of the pieces of video game merchandise that I will see every time I go into Boston. Like it's, yeah,
that's the zip up right, yeah, there.
Like that is the one.
Yeah.
Like you have your Tali body pillow at home, and you have your N7 jacket for the people out in the world. You don't know who
if
Tali
we see
is.
One, we know about the other. Just, yeah. Yeah.
It's an assumption. Yeah. It is actually so prominent that there are props that have the N7 logo on them in the background of a scene in The Expendables 3, which is just dumb.
As like an on-purpose nod, or oops, we forgot that was in there.
I have no idea. It is like clearly framed where you can see it, but as to the intent of putting it directly behind Mel Gibson's bleeding face, whom's could say?
I feel like that timeline works out where someone who was deep into Mass Effect as a young adult is probably gaining enough job site authority by the time Expendables 3 is happening that they might be able to sneak that in there if they want.
Expendables 3 is 2014, which is the same year Mass Effect 2 comes out. Mass Effect 2 comes out 2010.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Mass Effect 3 is 2012, so came out filming it around the time Mass Effect 3 came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's fun little cameos there. The logo for it, the N7 like actual design that you see everywhere, it is allegedly, at least, based on the logo for a, I think, mid-70s, early 80s ski binding called the Look N77.
That's really specific.
Yep. Yep. It says that series art director Derek Watts simply removed one of the sevens from the original.
Oof.
I could not find...
Real labor to love there.
Yeah. I couldn't find a good enough version of the binding logo to corroborate that. It definitely doesn't have the space age looking design to the N. Like, I feel like the N in N7 is a little, like, it's a little NASA-y.
Off, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a little worm logo and a little squared off.
Do we know the typeface?
No, I don't know the typeface. I do have the typeface on my computer here, but I don't actually know. Actually, it's from...
It might not be a full character set either. It might just be the letter N.
We're going to find out real quick.
I feel like both of us are just a hair breaths away from being real font weirdos. Just a font pervert.
I was a font weirdo for a while, and I have now recovered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I have this. The original show art for the show actually was based on the Mass Effect menu and had Codex in the Mass Effect font. So, you know, there's that. The last two cameos for the N7 program, and then we can get out of here. During the fantastic days of cross game promotion, you may remember this from Dragon Age when you could be Sir Isaac and have the Dead Space armor in Dragon Age 2, I think.
Did the Mass Effect armor make it into one of the Dragon Age games too?
I don't know if it made it into the Dragon Age games, but it made it into Dead Space. So you could play as Isaac with the Dead Space N7 armor. And it had the blood stripe on the arm there and the N7 on the chest.
That is an acceptable tie-in.
Yeah.
I'm usually not a fan of the way they sometimes cram those things in, but that seems like a totally neat way to take care of that.
Yeah, and the best part is that it was if you had a Mass Effect 3 save, so it wasn't even nonsense where you had to pre-order it from a GameStop in order to get it for this game, but if you pre-ordered it from Walmart, you got a different one, which is nice. The last one, the last cameo, there is also an N7 themed javelin skin from Anthem. Of course there was. Sense.
Yeah, I feel like Anthem and Mass Effect both ended up in a similar place by then also.
Yeah, maybe like, one of them will come back.
Not quite where we want you to be, but you're maybe trying.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about this later, but the actual best use of N7 in all of Mass Effect and attached properties is my favorite companion and character of the Mass Effect game series, my best friend Legion, who has N7 armor, a piece of it, and is really not forthcoming on why he has it. And I guess for those who don't know who Legion is, he is spoiler alert, he is a Geth. You get to be pals with him towards the end of Mass Effect 2.
Is the implication there that he killed a Jedi and took his lightsaber?
Is that the implication is that he is a really weird Geth who is in the Commander Shepard fan club. You played at least the first hour of Mass Effect 2?
Yes.
Do you remember what happens?
No. I barely remember the last boss battle I did, which was on a planet against some kind of husky looking
creature. Okay, but you don't remember the character creator reason?
No.
Okay. Hey, if you're listening to this episode and you don't know this, thank you for listening to the show. We'll talk to you later. Have a great time. I'm going to spoil the beginning of Mass Effect 2 for my good friend Logan here, just for funsies.
Yeah.
You don't need to hear it. You can go. Thank you for listening. Have a great time. Okay. Ruin it for you. Mass Effect 2 opens with you flying in the Normandy the end of the first game. And you are attacked by these aliens that are called Collectors. And the Normandy is destroyed, and you die. You are floating out in space, and then you heat up in reentry, and then we cut to black, and then you are rebuilt by Cerberus. $6 million man style.
Yeah. Space cocaine.
And
yeah.
And the assumption is that Legion found your body, took your armor, and is wearing a piece of it because he really thinks that you're cool.
Ah, okay. That's less gruesome than my version.
Yeah. He's a real good buddy, though. He's good stuff. But yeah.
Okay.
That's the N7 program. Also, this Blood Dragon armor for Mass Effect is very good. I had this armor.
That's what I was thinking of. I knew there was, yeah.
There is actually Blood Dragon armor in the new Dragon Age that is coming out very soon, but it does not look as good as this, so I did not pre-order.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a tough one to beat.
But yeah, that is the N7 program. It's mostly really good space military school, and then you get a cool logo on your shoulder there, and maybe you get to be a Spectre. Who knows?
I've done dumber things for a cool logo in a thing. So
that's certainly true. But yeah, Jester's that is
broadly at all RuneScape.
I guess you do it for capes, which is not much better.
No. No, it's all about the capes. This is a good peek into the world of Mass Effect, which I assume we will return to frequently, given what I remember of sitting next to you at your father's computer looking up concept art before this game launched the first time.
Yeah, when Mass Effect came out, I was subscribed to official Xbox magazine, but that was before the 360 came out. So I bought a 360 because of Mass Effect.
I remember you were in deep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember there are like weird things about that original article where you would, the more you played the game, the team wanted your armor to get dirtier and you could go somewhere on the ship and you could wash it off, which is all just, you know,
that's good.
It's good. It's pre-telling the Witcher 3 Geralt beard, but they still never did that. Maybe someday.
The armor dirtying really feels like a thing that they could point at and say, look, this is the next generation of gaming. This is why you need to buy a 360, is because look at this cool thing we can do.
Yeah, and then nothing happened.
Now it seems quite quaint, but
for the, for, I guess, the PlayStation 6, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Get your armor dirty, eventually. Finally. Yeah, we will do a lot of Mass Effect. We will do a lot more of it sooner than I had expected, now knowing that you have not played any of them, really. I just assumed that you had.
No, I'm going to say like less than a dozen hours, probably total. I've considered going back to one a whole bunch just from Giant Bomb describing it as the best Star Trek game ever made. But
knowing the overlap, I would agree with that.
Caught some. I mean, the Turian War mirrors some Klingon shenanigans in early Star Trek as well. So we'll have some tie-ins when we get to Star Trek.
Yeah, that'll be good. We will spend a lot of time in Mass Effect. All right. I think that is an episode. Thank you so much for listening to this somewhat mini-sized mini on the N7 program and greater Mass Effect stuff. If you like the show, tell a friend, rate a review, all of that fun stuff. Head to gordonheberger.com where you can read reviews, find links to Twitch, YouTube. Hopefully, by the time this comes out, we will be somewhere close to that Starfield video being out, so stay tuned for that. You can listen to our music, the composer, if you will, of it, his SoundCloud, Nick Cahill. He has a bunch of good stuff up there. I have been Phil.
I've been Logan.
And thanks for listening. We will be back next week with another Codex entry, I think on something Dragon Age related. So buckle up for that. Welcome to BioWare Month.
The BioWareverse here.
Yeah. All right. See ya. Thanks.
Bye.